Have you gotten a sense in year two here how much Matt Canada might want to use the tight end more?
Yeah, I mean, not really much of a sense of, but I think he's obviously looking for us to be there a lot more.
Steelers tight end Pat Freiermuth starts us off here on our newest Bella Construction Training Camp podcast, Letters from Camp, brought to you by Bella Construction, a five-star home improvement contractor, proudly serving the Pittsburgh area for over 20 years. Visit mybellaroof.com and request a quote today. Let's talk about the tight ends a little bit. I wrote about it at Breakfast with Ben's during the course of the week. I asked Mike Tomlin at the outset of training camp, after the first or second practice, about Zach Gentry and the prospect of his development leading perhaps to the usage of more two tight end sets. And Tomlin replied, somewhat curtly, we've been in that mode, and left it at that. And looking at the numbers, that appears to be somewhat true, but perhaps it's time for that mode to be accelerated. In the strictest sense, Tomlin is right. The Steelers have started to incorporate Gentry and two tight ends more often. Now, in part due to Eric Ebron missing much of last year due to injury, Gentry's snap count did leap to 473. That's 40% of the Steelers' offensive plays. After he only got 69 combined offensive snaps his first 2 years with the club, Ebron off the roster now, though, and Gentry's blocking is more of an asset to the offense than Ebron's ever was. So I think the Steelers should seek opportunities to expand that multiple tight end mode, as Tomlin said, even more. For as much as Gentry's snap count increased, if you look at Sharp Football Analysis, they do a good job with football numbers like this, it shows that the Steelers still ran offense out of 11 personnel, one running back, one tight end, three wide receivers, 75% of the time. That's 924 snaps. Only the Bengals and Rams, the two Super Bowl teams, tracked at a higher percentage. The Steelers ran out of 12 personnel, which is one back and two tight ends, 16% of the time. That's up from 12% in 2020, only 9% in 2018. Let's skip over Roethlisberger's injury year of 2019. They were in 12 personnel 20% of the time then, because they're being conservative with Rudolph and Duck Hodges. But still, the league average last year was 21%, so the Steelers at 16% are behind the trend. Interestingly, the Steelers did throw out of two tight ends fairly often when they used it, and effectively when they used it. Again, Sharp Football with the numbers here, the run-pass split for the Steelers out of two tight ends, the gap was pretty narrow, 52% run plays, 48% passing plays, and the Steelers had a passer rating of 105.8 with 9 touchdowns and no interceptions. Probably a lot of goal line snaps in that. But theoretically, the running game and the run blocking should almost always be better for Najee Harris in two tight end packages instead of three wide receivers. Last year, it didn't reveal that much when they ran 52% of the time because the Steelers averaged 4.1 yards per carry out of 12 personnel and 3.9 yards per carry out of 11, so hardly any differential. But after a year of development, Freiermuth should be better as a blocker in 2022, and Roberts, the tight ends coach, Alfredo Roberts, who we're going to hear from in just a little bit, he thinks that at 6'8", 265, Gentry can get to a dominant blocking level this season. That was his word, dominant. In fact, he said Gentry can go from an efficient blocker to a dominant one this season. And we'll hear that interview momentarily. But what really matters is how comfortable is Matt Canada with that approach and how often will he deploy two tight ends. On the day that the Steelers reported, you heard Freiermuth's clip at the top of the podcast here saying that Matt Canada is going to be looking for tight ends more often in this offense. Canada wouldn't fully commit to that theory of employing multiple tight ends more often or throwing them the ball more often, but sure sounds like he's embracing the thought.
I hope that we do the best thing we can do in every game and every matchup to win. I mean, I think, you know, to say we're going to specifically plan to do that. To your point about Gentry, Gentry is a guy who's, you know, his game is elevated. I've only been, you know, this is my third camp here, but, you know, he's gotten better every year. He can do more things. There's things he can do that other tight ends can't around the league, in my opinion. Obviously, we know what Pat can do there, you know, and Connor's come in and been a nice, you know, a nice addition to what we're doing. And so we've got some tight ends. You know, how much more or less, I'm not going to really say that. But I do, you know, I do, we enjoy that deal. I think there's places in the game for it. And if it gives us the best matchup in a certain week, we're going to do it.
I think looking for variety in the Steelers' offense with more mobile quarterbacks in the mix this year, that's been a major talking point this offseason. So has been helping Najee Harris avoid taking a beating by getting hit in the backfield so often. Increasing the mode of two tight end sets a bit more would be an easy and logical place to start. But let's hear from the tight ends coach himself, Alfredo Roberts. I told you we'd play this interview, so it's an interesting conversation with Roberts, formerly of the Chiefs and the Cowboys as a player, now second year on Mike Tomlin's coaching staff. And we started off talking specifically about Zach Gentry and his development.
Just seeing that he didn't have a significant role when I first walked in the door, to see how he's grown, how he's matured as a player, and how he's grown in the weight room, I think his arrow is definitely pointed up. Yes.
I asked Mike a similar question a couple days ago about maybe running two tights a little bit more often. He said, we've been in that mode for a while now. And you could see it. I mean, you got to take a little bit of a grain of salt for when Ben was out. But, like, I think it was the year before Ben got hurt. Mm-hmm. I think it was 9% of the snaps were in 12. Mm-hmm. And then he got hurt, came back, and then it went up to 12 to 16. Mm-hmm. Do you guys maybe increment even more this year?
Well, you're asking me a question like that. I'm the tight end coach, and I know I want all the guys on the grass. So that's a tough question for me.
14 personnel.
Oh, yeah. When you have guys that are highly skilled as our receiver group, it's kind of hard to ask them to take a back seat. But then you have guys that have developed over the year with Pat and Zach that offer something, give you a chance to run it and throw it. Then you try to, you know, that is also a weapon. It's a fun problem to have because you have to defensively find a way to defend it. Mm-hmm. And if we are efficient as a run group, because the running back's not bad either now.
Right.
So you just say, okay, well, are we going to play big people and then split Pat out and throw it, or are we going to low people and stay big and run it? So that offers its own component of issues for the defense. It's just going to be tough to take Deontay and Chase and George off the field because those guys are highly skilled as well.
Yeah, I think kind of to that point, when I looked at the numbers, you guys ran out of 11 last year. The only teams that ran out of it more were the two Super Bowl teams.
And some of it, you find yourself in situational football. Then you probably find yourself in more 11. You're saying two-minute situation. You tend to play more 11 mm-hmm. Kings or whatever you call it. Than you do in base defense. So when we're playing just regular, you know, base defense, you probably see more 12 than you would 11, I would think.
Yeah.
If you're doing the numbers that way.
And does the fact that you've got quarterbacks now, all three of them who are a bit more mobile than what Ben was at 38, does that allow sort of more of a moving pocket, the offensive lineman to move? Does that speak to flexibility more?
I think it's Ben's skill set is different. I mean, Ben, he's a prolific passer. Mm-hmm. And I think you play to, not that he couldn't move. I was in Cleveland when he went for like 60 on us one day. But I think you want to try to pronounce what he does well. And he's being the best offensive weapon. Well, he's a prolific passer, so you try to do those things. Then he had the guys to throw it to. These guys offer a little more, I'm going to say versatility, because they have been shown to do more, a little more off schedule or running or moving around in the pocket. Does that help? I think it gives you a more running threat. Now you got big people that can catch the football, then yes. But you have little people, like you say, would be, say, that Kansas City team. That guy can run around a little bit, but they play a lot more 11 than they do 12, I would say.
It's funny because when I was talking to Mason about this a little bit, Chase Claypool on the first day said something like, you know, maybe the best way for us to alleviate some of the burden that Najee is carrying is not so much let's find another running back who can take his carries, but let's all of us do more, you know, like, you know, do it through the passing game maybe a little bit. And,
that sounds like a receiver.
Yeah, but his greater point was, what's wrong with a five-play scoring drive? What's wrong with a four-play scoring drive?
You know, that's because he's not playing. He's not blocking the protection. No, there's some truth, and I get it. Yeah. And we've been tongue-in-cheek. We all want it, and I'm glad he's saying it that way. Because he wants it. He wants to make those plays. He wants the opportunity to make those plays, and he's working. extremely hard over the offseason to get himself in position to do that. I think at various ways that you can fire plays, drives are great, okay? But there's times that you want to be able to maintain the football and maintain the clock and drive the ball down the field. You want to be efficient at doing all of those things.
I think Mason was coming from the standpoint of, you don't think of it this way because we got, you know, when Chase and Deontay and Pickens potentially are all healthy, you got three really good big play wide receivers. Right. But at the same time, he said, you know, so many plays come from play action that are deep hits for offenses.
Oh, no question.
Maybe you can, like, get deep hits even though you're putting the extra tight end in there. That can turn into big plays.
Yeah, I mean, throwing it every down has this – throwing it a lot has this set of issues because you got to be able to protect it. And protecting the pass, you do it by running football well and run action well. So you get those shots because they got to – you cannot take 22 off the field. They got to defend 22. And when they do that, then Chase and Deontay get those other opportunities to have the big splash plays. And then, so it's got to have a fair balance, I believe.
Last two things. I'll kind of double it up here. How have you seen Connor Hayward assimilate into the NFL in a tight end role? And when we talked about Zach Gentry, can he do more catching the football as well?
Okay, well, as far as Connor, we're still so early in the process, and I believe it's a process. The positive is that he has not turned anything down. The negative is he's still got growth and just trying to learn the position. Mm-hmm. Is it foreign? No, he's done some of it, but it would be foreign if he, for Pat, when he played the position all his career, and he still had to learn the nuances of what we was asking him to do, how to play against bigger, faster guys. I mean, this is, you see in T.J. Watt. T.J. Watt's a problem. You know, Alex Highsmith is a problem. So it's just being able to deal with that part of the game. And as far as Zach, someone asked me that question earlier. Sometimes the ball's just got to find you. He had some opportunities last year where the ball went somewhere else, and we'll keep trying to utilize him because he does offer that. He's 6'8". He's skilled. He can catch football. And then he's developed himself as a very efficient blocker. So now we want to be a dominant blocker.
What?
A dominant blocker.
Dominant blocker.
Yeah. So he's efficient, but now we're going to go to the next level and just lay on him and challenge him to just continue to grow in that role, and we'll give him a little sugar every now and then. A lot of guys want the football, man.
All right, so my thanks to Alfredo Roberts. We will be back with our Letters from Camp podcast on Monday as the third week of Steelers training camp begins. We lead into a game week with the Steelers getting ready to take on the Seattle Seahawks for the first preseason game at Acrisure Stadium. We will start looking ahead to that and some other camp nuggets here and there throughout the next week of our podcast brought to you by Bella Construction. Visit mybellaroof.com and request a quote today. Have a good weekend, everybody.